living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 4 and 5, which is where we'll be. You know, one of the things that I did last week was with Lori was take in an IMAX movie. I don't know if you've ever been to an IMAX movie before, but as I do those, as I go, and you know, it costs a little bit more, and as I go to those things, I wonder why you would ever want to see a movie any other way. You know, IMAX stands for maximum image, and that's no joke at all. I mean, the screen is, depending on where you sit in there, even if you sit in the back, the screen is big enough that you have got to turn your head to catch all the action that's going on. And then you add the 3D effect, and it's almost like you're just part of the movie. So you're not really seeing it, but you're actually immersed in it. You're engrossed in this image. And so Revelation 4 and 5 takes us to the epicenter of worship in the throne room of God. And so we've got an opportunity to enter in along with John this morning and experience what I'm going to call IMAX worship. A maximum experience of worship. The images that we get of God in these verses are at their maximum. And so it's a rare glimpse of Him, our Heavenly Father, seated on His throne. Now, Revelation 4, verse 1, it serves as this transition verse from the letters that were being read to the church. So John doing his dictation from Jesus of these letters to those seven churches. Now there's this verse 1 that transitions us to another place. And it is an invitation. It's an invitation to walk through the open door of heaven and take in an IMAX worship service unlike we've ever experienced. So that verse says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" So like John has this invitation to come into God's presence, you know, every week we gather here. This is our place that God has provided for us to come and formally step into His presence in worship. And it's our prayer that we come here with expectation, that we come here with anticipation of an IMAX experience. And that is a little bit maybe like when your surroundings sort of fade away, and who's around you, who might be watching you, and you just send all your focus and attention to God. And that's where we try to get to. See, worship is an intimate experience. If you've ever tried singing in a small group, you know, that just feels kind of hard. And it can feel hard, especially when you're doing this intimate expression of your heart to God. And so to worship God really authentically in front of others can be a difficult thing to do sometimes. But that is what we hope to get to, because when we are able to do that all together, that's a powerful experience for the Holy Spirit and His church to come in and do something. So the door is open right now for us to enter in, to take that first step. So let's pray and ask God to give us a glimpse of Him, of all that we can handle of Him this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be together this morning. We're grateful to have this open door invitation to step into the throne room of heaven with John, and to get a glimpse of You, our Heavenly Father, to behold our God, to take in all that we can of you, your majesty, your glory, your magnificence. Father, we pray your Spirit would work in our hearts this morning and that you might move away burdens that we've carried in with us, the worries, distractions. Help us, Father, just focus all of our attention on you. Can't do it on our own. We're weak. We're wounded. We're tired. Father, carry us through the door into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to worship in IMAX, one of the things we got to try to do is immerse ourselves in worship. So the rest of Revelation 4 will help us to do that. Verses 2 and 3 describe the very center or the epicenter of where God is. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. So there our God is seated on his throne, and he's described as having the appearance of jewels that sparkle, if you can picture that. And so there's this red, green, blue, yellow, and white sparkling coming from the center of the throne room, coming from God. So it would be kind of like looking into the sun without it hurting your eyes, and you're able to take in all the colors that's coming at you. Or maybe if you looked out across a lake, a body of water, as the sun is shimmering on that, and you can see all those little sparkle things, but your eyes are able to pick up all of that rainbow of color. A little bit like it, what it might be like looking at the center of the throne room. One of the jewels makes a rainbow that encircles the throne of God. And that calls us back to our God as a God of the covenants, a God who makes promises to his people. Remember, he made a promise through Noah to not ever destroy the earth again by water, the Noahic covenant. Then he made a covenant with Abraham to bless him, and all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through his family, the Abrahamic covenant. He made a covenant with, through Moses, the Mosaic covenant, to his people, the Israelites. The Ten Commandments and the law. This is how you're to live in relationship with me. Do it like this. And then he made a covenant with David, the Davidic covenant. He made him a promise that a member of his family would always sit on the throne of his people. And then he made a new covenant through his son Jesus, that all men could be saved through him, through his sacrifice. We have a God who is the God of covenants. Now, John doesn't describe any physical feature of God. Maybe he couldn't come up with words to do him justice, to paint a perfect picture of him. All we have is this collection of jewels to describe his glory and magnificence and majesty. The throne is surrounded by concentric circles. First of all, you got the rainbow. It's the tightest circle. And then the four living creatures, and then 24 elders sitting on thrones. Verse 4 says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. So the 24 elders are most likely heavenly beings, and their primary role is to worship and praise God. Their dress would be a significant thing. It would signify purity and holiness. And their golden crowns, they tell us that they have some royal status in the throne room, in God's court. Verses 5 and 6 describe the ambiance of the throne room. It says, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. So coming out of the throne, we've got lightning and thunder. You know, that harkens us back to the God of the Old Testament, to Yahweh, the Almighty God who met with Moses on Mount Sinai. And that cloud came down and set that mountain on fire, and thunder and lightning came out from there. And the fear of God came over all His people as they witnessed that event. There are the seven lamps before the throne blazing with fire because of the presence of God. And so that represents the presence of the Holy Spirit and His perfect work. Also, what appears to be this sea of glass, clear as crystal there at the feet of God, giving us the image that harkens us back to Genesis in chapter 1, verse 7, where the sky is separated by this great expanse. So God's throne rested on this sea of glass, this incredible expanse, emphasizing to us how big He is, His awesomeness, His transcendence, His magnificence. He is separate. He is other from His creation. The rest of verse 6 and verse 7 mentions the four living creatures. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. So these four creatures, they actually have been heard of before, back in the book of Ezekiel. And they could represent different things, but I think the best way that I can interpret what they mean is they represent God's whole of creation. You know, so you've got the noblest of creation being a lion, the strongest being an ox, the wisest being a man, and the swiftest being an eagle. So if we could just pause right there and try to get a glimpse of Yahweh, of our incredible, magnificent, awesome God. We want to try and immerse ourselves in that scene. God seated on His throne with lightning and thunder as His backdrop. The sky beneath His feet, surrounded by His creation in constant worship. That's the throne room. Now, verses 8 to 11 give us an idea of what the worship activity is like. It's going on around the throne. What is being said? What is being done? So the four living creatures are not silent. They never stop saying day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now that might sound kind of boring and repetitious to us, but I believe it is all they could say, because they're overwhelmed by the presence of God. And every time they said it, it wasn't enough. And they had to say it again and again because it wasn't enough. It's all they could say. And then the 24 elders responded every time to the worship of God, falling down before God, taking off their crowns and saying, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." We want to try this morning and immerse ourselves in this image of God and be confronted with who He is. God the Father, Yahweh the Almighty, just soak in His majesty and power, with His sovereignness and His holiness there before us. So our worship team is going to help us try to do that, try to take us there, reading Revelation 4, and then we'll have a chance to join in with the rest of all creation in the worship services happening right now in heaven. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word.
Revelation 4, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created."
The scene in the throne room continues on in chapter 5 and leads us to another aspect of IMAX worship, participation, in which from that last song, it sort of sounds like I can skip this point, but I won't. You know, worship's not a passive activity. It's not something that you can just come and sort of stand on the sidelines and be an observer and expect it to mean anything to you or to God. And, you know, we pray often when you come that you are able to drop your worldly concerns and burdens at the foot of the cross and for a time together with God's people, just focus on Him. We pray that often, that you'd be able to immerse in God's presence. You know, it's that song we sing, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God." You know, that's what we want worship to be like. We come, and that's what it's about. It's about Him. So in Revelation 5, John's given this privilege of seeing this monumental moment when God initiates the events that close history as we know it. Verse 1 sets the stage. "Then I saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals." So there's God seated on His throne, and John is able to see that He's holding this scroll. Now that was kind of a unique scroll because it had writing on the front and on the back, but it would resemble like a Roman contract to the people that first read this, or a will that would be executed. And it certainly can represent the completion of the new covenant. You know, when God closes His covenant on that He made through His Son, Jesus Christ. The execution of the details written within the scroll will bring to completion God's promises, and they will implement His judgments. The seven seals prevent the scroll from being opened and executed. Verse 2, an angel makes a dramatic announcement. "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" Now that's a ceremonial proclamation to prepare the scene for the introduction of heaven's champion. You know, God's hero. Make no mistake, there is no question in heaven who this is. Verse 3 tells us that there is no one ever created in heaven or on earth or under the earth that was worthy to break the seals. And verse 4 shows us how John is participating in this worship. For him, this is a monumental moment. God is ready to finish His redemptive work with mankind, but it seems that it is now in jeopardy, because no one was worthy. And John begins to weep. Verse 4, "I begin to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." John is fully engaged in this moment in the throne room. He's participating all the way. Last night, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but there was a monumental event on TV. There was a Rocky Marathon. Did you know that? I know. I didn't know either. I didn't catch it till Rocky II. Lori was out, and Lucy and I were sitting there. She didn't want to watch football, and we were done watching Tangled. So I said, let's watch Rocky. Lucy, Rocky's on. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a new dog. His name is Watson. He's about 14 weeks maybe. Still in the puppy stage, jumping, biting, needing to go out a lot. Okay. So I'm sitting on the couch. Lucy's beside me, and I'm trying to help Lucy get engrossed in the movie. Explain to her what's going on, you know. Adrian is lost all this blood. She's in a coma. She's had the baby. Rocky is going to fight in a few weeks. He's not training, you know. And then she wakes up and win, Rocky, win, Lucy. And the dog pees in the kitchen. Why? Because I was fully engrossed in Rocky II at the moment. Lori came home and tried to tell me about the night, and I'm like, she loved me more at that moment because she joined me on the couch and we finished watching it together. Translate, if you can, forgive me, Lord, translate that into the throne room and being fully engrossed in what's happening here. Okay? History is about to end. The announcement has been made, and no one is worthy to complete the deal. No one. For the first time in history, God's work cannot be completed because no one was able to live up to His standard. No one loved Him enough. No one was good enough. No one. No one. A reason to weep and to mourn and to cry out, we have failed our God. That's the human dilemma. That's the reason for Jesus. Right here in the throne room. We can't get there on our own. We need His grace, His work to be able to get us there. Now, in hero-like fashion, the champion of heaven is revealed in verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." So here is the Lion, the root, the conqueror, the only one that can consummate the end of all things. The only one. Now, in Revelation, this is one of those hearing and then seeing moments that's really incredible. John hears the description of a hero, and he paints him as a mighty conquering military commander. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. That harkens back to Genesis 49, where Jacob blesses his oldest son Judah to be the leader of that tribe and the leader over all the people. And a lion is the king of beasts. So Jesus is the king of his people, reigning over the first tribe of Judah and over all the other tribes. He's a king. Also, he's called the root of Jesse. That's a title taken from Isaiah chapter 11. Listen to just verses 1 to 4. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." How mighty is that? With a word, with the breath of his lips, he will conquer his enemies. He's the ultimate conqueror. That's the description John heard. Then in verse 6, the hero is revealed, and John describes what he sees. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So here we've got the line of Judah, the root of Jesse, combined with the perfect Lamb of God, brought together in the same text. And so the order of that imagery is important. The mighty lion hasn't conquered. He's not the one who conquered, but the Lamb who was slain by his submission and sacrifice, he conquered. And because of that sacrifice, he gained a victory over sin and Satan, and that's already been won. It's done. So the battle that we're going to read about in Revelation, the battle to come, is already been decided. Even the great battle of Armageddon, it's already done. It's already been decided. Jesus has already conquered. Now, verse 7, the hero goes and he takes the scroll. He does the honors, as it is only him who is able to do so. And that begins this crescendo of worship in the throne room. It starts at the center and it grows out beyond, including every living thing, every living creature, and then the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fall down. It says that they are holding harps and bowls of incense containing prayers of the saints. Have you ever felt like your prayers aren't getting heard? Have you ever felt that way? That they're just not getting answered? Well, this is telling us how important they are to God. They're not only being heard, but they're being saved. They are put into these bowls of incense held by the 24 elders. They are the aroma in the throne room. Our prayers. That's how important they are to God. And so all of those will be answered in due time. But I thought we would stop for a moment in this IMAX worship service, and we would add to the aroma of the prayer of the throne room with our prayers this morning. And all together now, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for saving each one of them for such a time as they can be answered. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the worship continues with more and more participation. A new song is sung by the elders and the living creatures about the Lamb, who he is and what he's done. And then the angels get involved, speaking out their praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then every living and not living creature chimes in. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Would you stand? We're going to sing again. We're going to immerse ourselves in this scene and participate in this moment of worship. Let's listen again to Revelation 5, and then we'll add our participation to the worship of the Lamb. God's hero, heaven's champion.
Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come into your throne room. Nothing in our hands do we bring. Only to your cross do we cling. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for dying for me and forgiving me my sin. Your love is everlasting. Your mercy is new every morning.
Yes, Lord.
Pour it out upon us this day. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
Bear fruit through our lives. Edify your church. Glorify Jesus through us.
Yes.
Protect us.
Yes.
From the enemy.
Yes.
He is defeated. We hide behind the shield of faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And ask you to extinguish the arrows.
Yes.
That are being lobbed at us today.
Yes.
Do not give him any power over us. Cancel his plans in our families, in our marriages, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our world. Lord, have your way, your kingdom come.
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All God's people said, Amen.